In today's episode, we are going to get really clear on what perimenopause is. We'll talk about the hormonal shifts that occur during perimenopause and some of the symptoms that pop up around this time for women. We're going to talk about the physical, emotional, and psychological aspects of perimenopause, and I'll give you advice and information on some lifestyle adjustments that you can make so you start feeling better right away. We'll finish up with some of my favorite resources. I can't wait to get started. Thanks for being here on the Perimenopause Show. Hey there, it's Jennifer Woodward, and welcome to the Perimenopause Show, the go-to spot for all things perimenopause. I'm on a mission to demystify this wild ride, sharing stories, laughs, and maybe a few eye-rolling moments. Whether you're knee-deep in hot flashes or just curious, we've got you covered. Expect real talk, expert guests, and a sprinkle of humor because, let's face it, we could all use a laugh during perimenopause. So grab your favorite drink, get comfy, and let's navigate this roller coaster together. This is the Perimenopause Show, where we're turning perimenopause into a conversation, not a crisis. Hello, and welcome to the Perimenopause Show. I'm Jennifer Woodward, and in today's episode, we are going to be talking about exactly what perimenopause is. We'll be discussing the hormonal shifts that occur during perimenopause. We're going to talk about some of the symptoms that most women experience, along with physical and emotional changes. Then we're going to talk about what you can do specifically with regards to your lifestyle today to start getting relief from a lot of your perimenopausal symptoms. I'm also going to provide for you some of my favorite resources, books, websites, tools that you can get more access to, great information so that, again, you can take control of your perimenopausal symptoms. Because girls, it's a rough ride, right? It's a hard time in life. So let's talk about exactly what perimenopause is. Perimenopause generally occurs for women between the ages of 35 and 50, and it's characterized by wildly fluctuating levels of estrogen and eventual declining levels of progesterone. Now, if you're not familiar with those two hormones, I will tell you that estradiol or estrogen, E2 is estradiol, so this is the strongest and most abundant estrogen in our body. Estrogen can be a bear when you're, you know, between 35 and 50. We need plenty of estrogen in our early years in order to develop as a woman, right? We grow breasts, we grow hips, we get taller, we become more womanly during puberty thanks to the effects of estrogen. And during the follicular phase of our cycle, so that's days 1 through 14 of a normal period, estrogen levels are going to start to swell and rise. And that is a normal mechanism of the body to lead to ovulation. But it's during the luteal phase, days 14 through 28 of a normal cycle, that progesterone really starts to rise. And progesterone is necessary for all sorts of beautiful things in the body. I like to call her Queen Progesterone because she is necessary for a healthy mood. She kind of helps balance you out. So if you're struggling with irritability and anger, a lot of the times it can be because your progesterone levels are low. She helps you sleep because she works on GABA receptors in the brain that allow you to really sleep deeply and sleep well. She gives you a normal, healthy period because excess estrogen levels in the body can lead to PMS symptoms and cramps and heavy flow and just all of the yucky things. That's a technical term, the yucky things that we deal with during, especially our PMS week and perimenopause. Progesterone kind of evens all of that out. Progesterone is necessary biologically because it really helps you have a healthy pregnancy, a healthy baby. It's very essential for fertility. In fact, the word progesterone is shortened from progestation hormone. So again, it's very associated with optimal fertility in women. Progesterone and estrogen have this beautiful dance in the body. Again, estrogen levels are swelling during your follicular phase. Progesterone levels should swell during your luteal phase, but that's if and only if you have healthy ovulation. Now, you should know as a woman, probably with a period, be it a good period or a bad period, that ovulation is the culminating event for a period. It's not the bleed itself. We need to have healthy ovulation in order to have a healthy menstrual cycle. And if we're not ovulating in a healthy way, then progesterone will not be released. This is why. Your corpus luteum is this little follicle that's actually going to release the egg when you have healthy ovulation. After the egg is released, the corpus luteum kind of restructures itself and becomes this amazing progesterone factory. So it starts pumping out progesterone in the luteal phase of your cycle. You might know if you are ovulating and you are creating enough progesterone, because if you track your body temperature is going to rise very slightly. So about half a degree in the luteal phase of your cycle. Progesterone makes your body warmer. So progesterone can make your metabolism go a little bit faster. This is one of the reasons why so many women have cravings in their luteal phase. It's one small reason. There are other nutritional reasons, of course, that abound. But the fact that your body temperature is running a little bit hotter in your luteal phase can account for some of the cravings and increased hunger that women have around their cycle. So it's estrogen and progesterone that really are going to, you know, manage your healthy menstrual cycle, but it's estrogen and progesterone that can also be way off if you are experiencing symptoms of perimenopause, like really annoying symptoms of perimenopause. So let's talk about the hormonal shifts that happen and how they affect those symptoms. When estrogen levels fluctuate, they really tend to rise before they lower. Oftentimes, I will see estrogen dominance in my women. So I like to run the Dutch test. It's the dried urine test for comprehensive hormones with my one-to-one clients. That's exclusively the test I run. I run it on almost 100% of my women because it tells us so much about the menstrual cycle, about your hormones, and about why the symptoms that you're experiencing in perimenopause can be such a bear or a beast, right? So we can look to see whether estrogen levels are elevated. They generally are if you're experiencing a lot of perimenopausal symptoms. And we can see that progesterone levels tend to be pretty low. That's the general picture I see. We would call that estrogen dominant. So that's again, when estrogen levels are much higher than progesterone, we really want that estrogen to progesterone balance to be very, very linear. We want it to be very balanced. We want the balance to be balanced, right? And when it's not, you can go into again, that state of what's clinically called estrogen dominance. And that is where a lot of the perimenopausal symptoms tend to be exacerbated. Sleep issues, mood issues, weight issues, brain issues, digestive issues, even a lot of digestive discomfort is associated with elevated estrogen levels in the body. So we can test for those hormonal shifts, but that tends to be the classic picture of a woman going through perimenopause: high estrogen levels, low progesterone levels. One of the things I've been seeing a lot more of in my clinic is very low estrogen levels, even for my 30, 35, 40 year olds. And that's because these women are just so depleted. We're going to talk a ton about diet over the course of this podcast, but essentially when estrogen levels are really low and progesterone levels are really low, that's a picture of depletion. That's generally a woman who has been over dieting, over exercising, and over stressing, and also under sleeping, you know, most of her life for decades. And in perimenopause, a lot of those things catch up with us. We can do those things when we're younger, right? We can get by on 5, 6 hours of sleep. We can go on a 900, 1200, 1500 calorie diet for an extended period of time. We can stress out about work and family, and we can exercise, you know, 7 days a week, getting up at 4:30 in the morning to do our high intensity interval class. But in perimenopause, the body starts rebelling. It's like, you've mistreated me for decades, so I'm mad at you. And I'm going to give you all these symptoms so that you slow down and listen to me. And those are the symptoms that tend to crop up. Again, weight gain of 5 to 11 pounds without changing diet or exercise, brain fog, moodiness that generally is going to center on anxiety or panic or anger. Anger, it's a big one. Period symptoms for sure, increasing heavy flow or scanty periods, right? Like light flow, increasingly greater clot size, cramps that are increasing, breast tenderness, you know, longer periods, just all of like the worsening period symptoms tend to happen around perimenopause when estrogen is high and progesterone is relatively low. So those hormonal shifts in the body or the shutting down of ovulation, you know, because your body is in this constant state of fight or flight mode, that can really lead to these perimenopausal symptoms. So let's talk about that fight or flight mode and that shift there for a minute. When the body, you know, is under all of that stress, as we talked about, over-exercising, over-dieting, and, you know, therefore under-nourishing, right? Over-stressing and under-sleeping, then The body has to use its raw materials for the steroid hormone cascade to make cortisol, your stress hormone, instead of making that calming, beautiful progesterone. So if you're constantly in fight or flight mode, there is a biological mechanism as to why you are experiencing worsening perimenopause symptoms, because your body has to preferentially create cortisol instead of creating that calming, relaxing hormone. And there's a reason why. Like, God knows at that point that when you're super stressed out, your body's not ready for a baby. You're not going to be able to give yourself the best care. You're not going to be able to give your baby the best care. If you're constantly in fight or flight mode, the body's constantly revving up these stress hormones. It's not the right environment to raise a child in. So your body, you know, is fearfully and wonderfully made and is designed to kind of start shutting down when fertility conditions are not optimal. And that's what tends to happen, you know, for women who have spent decades in that high stress state, that fight or flight state, and, you know, then the subsequent worsening perimenopausal symptoms right between, you know, 35 and 50. So physical changes that tend to happen in perimenopause as a result of these hormone shifts are, again, that weight gain is huge, but women also start to lose muscle. So I have a lot of women who come to me and say, Jennifer, I'm working out, I'm, you know, eating a really good diet, a healthy diet. I haven't changed anything, but I feel like I'm just flabby. Like, my workouts aren't doing anything anymore. And I tell them that's absolutely right. In fact, your protein need, your dietary protein need, and the amino acids that come with dietary protein, that need is greater in perimenopause than it's ever been your whole life as a woman, no matter how much you worked out when you were younger. Because in perimenopause, the body starts catabolizing its own muscle. So it breaks down your skeletal muscle in order to get to the glycogen stores and the amino acid stores that are there. So you start to strip your own muscle away. So this leads to you feeling and probably looking a little bit more flabby. And it leads to you gaining fat, like body fat, because you are probably eating more because your body is, you know, looking for nutrition to rebuild its own muscle. So in perimenopause, a lot of times, you know, women are eating more of a carb heavy, wine heavy, coffee heavy diet, not realizing that they really need about a gram per pound of lean body weight of dietary protein every single day, just to keep the muscle they have, not only to build new muscle. So that physical change during perimenopause of becoming more flabby is real, real, and it really sucks. And we're going to talk about ways that you can kind of, you know, combat that. Two of my favorite are getting sufficient dietary protein along with enough potassium, calcium, and iron, and then doing strength training, stopping all of your chronic cardio exercise and really prioritizing muscles. All right. You need it as a perimenopausal woman. Mood changes are also huge in perimenopause. Again, I see a ton of women presenting with anxiety because progesterone is a calming hormone. And when progesterone levels are just tanked, as they often are in perimenopause, we start to feel a physical anxiety, a bodily anxiety, and it's not in your head. And you don't necessarily need Prozac. Again, I'm not a doctor, so I don't diagnose, treat, or prescribe. So I am not telling you don't take your Prozac. I'm just saying that there are other ways that might be a little bit more of a root cause condition that you can take matters into your own hand and start working on your own anxiety by really re-nourishing and remineralizing yourself. And we've got to work on increasing progesterone levels. So I've got some great resources like my perimenopause survival guide, like my core hormone recipes that really help the body naturally rebuild progesterone stores. My seed cycling guide, these are great food-based ways that can help your body kind of balance out hormonally through perimenopause. But those are a great place to start. If you're experiencing anxiety or irritability, like true anger is another one I see all the time, you know, you're probably going to need to work on your hormone health a little bit. And that's getting that protein and getting your minerals and making sure you're sufficiently nourished. Without sufficient nourishment, you are going to feel angry and irritable all the time. It's your body's biological response to being malnourished and starving. You know, you are on this heightened state of fight or flight because biologically your body's like, I got to go get food right now. I got to go get glucose, or I got to go get amino acids to support all the stress needs that's happening for me at this point. Like, I'm under constant stress, so I need resources in order to deal with the stress. But what happens in perimenopause for a lot of women? Well, they're gaining weight. And so they're like, well, I'm going to restrict my calories further, right? I am going to work out harder. Thus, we strip the body even further of its resources, and your anxiety worsens, and your irritability worsens, and your anger worsens. And then you start feeling like you're going a little bit crazy, right? We've all been there. And I can tell you, you're not crazy. You're just perimenopausal. And there are things that we can do about it. So while depression can be, you know, a correlative symptom during perimenopause, I truly do see more often that women are struggling with anxiety, irritability, and anger. So those emotional and psychological aspects of perimenopause are very real. And it is a sign that your body wants more nourishment. It's a sign that your body not only wants more food nourishment, but wants more nourishment from a rest and stress management standpoint. Of course, you would want to seek medical guidance, right? You'll want to consult with your doctor and your healthcare professional. If you are experiencing any true, you know, mood symptoms and you're worried, you know, for your mental health, please go see your doctor. But you do know that there are also, you know, lifestyle adjustments that you can make. So let's talk about those. And I always want to filter all of my advice through FDN's dress protocol. And FDN is functional diagnostic nutrition. That is my certification. I'm board certified as an FDN. I have my master's degree in integrative nutrition. So all of this stuff is like, I love it, right? It's in my wheelhouse. It's what I do. It's what I love. I'm so thankful that I'm an FDN trained in functional lab work and trained by Reed Davis in the dress protocol, because that is, again, how I filter all of my advice for women. We have to work on everything. We have to work on diet, rest, exercise, diet, rest, exercise, stress management, and proper supplementation based on lab work. All right. So let's just start with diet. This is my general advice for most perimenopausal women. I've worked with over 950 women over the course of my 8 years in practice. So I can tell you these are generalized recommendations that work for most women. If you want more specific recommendations, this would be when we would, you know, run functional lab work and look at something like the Dutch test or your hair tissue mineral analysis, so we can see, you know, what's biologically appropriate for you. But if you're like most perimenopausal women, you need more protein. You need to get about 1 gram per pound of body weight of protein for your body, because you are, again, starting to catabolize your own muscle. You have greater needs for hormone health, for neurotransmitter health, and just for strength than a younger woman. So my recommendation is at least a palm-sized serving of protein 3 times a day. I prefer animal protein. Not everyone does. I find it, you know, with my women to be the most nourishing and satiating. But if you're plant-based and you want, you know, whole food, whole protein sources, you will hear me talk a lot about meat on the podcast. It's because I am a huge fan. All right. So I'm not trying to judge anyone. If you are plant-based, like, awesome. I love it. Plants are great. But in my practice, I do focus on animal protein because I find it to be the most nourishing for hormone health. Okay. So that's what we want to do, is really focus on that protein. For the love of Pete, stop intermittent fasting. That's fine for young dudes. But for you as a perimenopausal woman, I think you've seen, because you've probably been doing it and haven't seen results lately, that fasting is no longer working for you. It's no longer serving you. So we want to, you know, actually eat breakfast. Imagine that your digestive fire actually rages between the hours of 6 a.m. and 2 p.m. That's an Ayurvedic principle of the Agni, or digestive fire. We want to take advantage of that, because that digestive fire is what revs up your metabolism, helps your digestion to be on point and quick. So eat breakfast, because that's when your digestive fire wants you to eat breakfast. You know, eat a true lunch. Don't just skip lunch or snack through lunch, or, you know, pick at your kid's lunch or drink coffee for lunch. Those are all terrible things for a perimenopausal woman to do. I know, because I lived it. Not judging you, just lived it. And then don't skip dinner. Like, have dinner planned out. I've got my perimenopause survival guide. I've got a 7-day free perimenopausal meal plan that I'm happy to share with you. That is just a suggested meal plan, because I'm not a registered dietitian. But there are, you know, perimenopause hormone balancing meals that you can make for yourself and for your family. That's a free resource I have for you. But eat dinner, have a plan. You know, all of my meals can be put together in like 20 minutes, because I am a busy mom with 4 kids and I am constantly on the go, and I can't cook for longer than that. I know you can't either. And so, you know, having a plan can be really helpful though. So you're not just drinking 3/4 of a bottle of wine as you eat chips and salsa and then wonder why you feel like crap the next morning. So that's diet, all right? With rest, we just want to push into a really good, sleep routine, an Epsom salt bath before bed, turning off your electronics for an hour before you get to sleep, doing something to calm your brain. I'm a huge fan of like brain dumping before bed, taking a pretty pen and a pretty journal and just writing down everything that you have to do the next day, writing everything down that's going through your brain so that you can dump it off and sleep and you're not just constantly recycling these thoughts like all night long, right? Rest is huge. And then, you want to push into rest as much as you push into your active things, right? If you're just constantly go, 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 going, then you're constantly in the fight or flight stress response and nothing's going to change with regards to your hormones or your weight or your energy or your mood. So push into some of that rest. And we'll get into this with stress relief in a minute. With exercise, my advice is simple. I want you to walk 10,000 steps a day outside and I want you strength training, heavy strength training 3 times a week for 20 to 30 minutes. That's it. You don't need to do more than that. More than that is likely to keep you in the stress response, and that's going to prevent you from rebalancing your hormones. Stress management is huge. This is a corollary of rest. I love a couple things on the daily for my clients in Jennifer Woodward Nutrition. In our practice, this is what we do. We take Epsom salt baths at night. We get outside for at least 20 or 30 minutes a day. You can be productive outside, but get outside. Your brain needs it. Your pineal gland needs it. Your hormones need it. We do breath work. So just some box breathing. I love the app Breath Work. I love the app Calm. Do a little bit of breath work a couple times a day to get you out of that fight or flight mode and activate the vagus nerve and get you more into parasympathetic mode. This is what we want. All right. The other things I like to do are a little harder, for novices, doing some leisure time, like activities that really make you sing, that make your soul sing. Like for me, it's just reading a regular book by the fire. It's laying out in my backyard, reading an actual book in the sun. Some of my clients like to paint or literally sing. I had a client who loved to blow bubbles. How cute is that? She went to the dollar store and got like a bunch of bubbles and just sat outside and blew bubbles to her kids. And that was her stress management. Always one of my favorites. And then supplementation. And, a lot of my guides have general recommendations for supplementation. I love just food-based supplements. So my herbal hormone tonic, the adrenal cocktail, the lemon gut shot are three of my core hormone recipes at Jennifer Woodward Nutrition that we use for hormone balance and digestion and energy. And that's kind of the long and short of it. So I promised you a couple recommendations for reputable sources. I love the work of Dr. Geralyn Pryor. She's a doctor from the 90s out of England. Fantastic resources if you can find any of her books. Her contemporary is Dr. Laura Bryden, who I also love. She has some great, great books out there. And I encourage you to look up her website and some of her books. And those are two resources that I have for you today. We'll talk more about what I have for you in subsequent episodes. But for today, start there because I don't want to overwhelm you. So I would encourage you, as we close out today, that you get a hold of us on social media. You can find me on Instagram at Jennifer Woodward Wellness. And I would love it if you wanted to submit questions or ask me anything about perimenopause, any suggestions you have for future episodes. But I would love to get to chat with you over on Facebook or Instagram. All right. You can find me at jenniferwoodwardnutrition.com as well. And I would love to have you back on our show next week, listening to all things perimenopause. So thanks for being with me today on the Perimenopause Show. I'll see you next time. Well, that's a wrap for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed our candid chat about perimenopause, the good, the challenging, and everything in between. If you found this episode as enlightening and entertaining as I did, be sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss a dose of perimenopausal realness. Before you go, remember that you're not alone in this journey. We're building a community of kick-ass women, embracing the changes and supporting each other. Connect with us on social media, share your stories, and let's keep this conversation going. And hey, if you have a burning question, a topic you'd love us to tackle, or just want to say hello, shoot us a message. Your feedback keeps this podcast fueled and fabulous. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Until next time, take care, stay fabulous. And remember, perimenopause is just another chapter in the adventure of being a woman. Catch you on the flip side.